Our next case is an employment law case that raises an interesting issue because it's an issue of first impression in California. The plaintiff is a medical resident. That means she was employed by defendant, that she provided services to the patients on behalf of defendant, and also was continuing her medical studies. She was terminated at the end of her second year of a three-year residency, and she sued the employer under the FEHA, the Fair Employment and Housing Act, claiming sex discrimination and retaliation, as well as whistleblower retaliation for reporting workplace safety concerns. The main issue in the case was whether she was primarily an employee who was entitled to use the McDonnell Douglas burden shifting test under the FEHA, or was she primarily a student, in which case academic deference would come into play and might trump the McDonnell Douglas procedure. The case is Coyne against Dignity Health. I'll call it the academic deference case. This was the second trial in the case. The first resulted in a hung jury. This case went to the jury with a jury instruction on academic deference. That instruction read, since the defendant's residency program was academic in nature, defendant's academic judgment should not be overturned unless it is found to have been arbitrary and capricious, not based on academic criteria, or motivated by bad faith or ill will, or motivated by retaliation or discriminatory reasons unrelated to her academic performance. Further, you must uphold the decision of Defendant Medical Center unless you find its decision was a substantial departure from accepted academic norms as to demonstrate that the person or committee did not actually exercise professional judgment. Well, in my opinion, not a true paradigm of clarity. One thing is clear. The instruction centers attention on academic performance and requires some deference to what defendant claims the status of that performance to be. That is clearly an easier test for defendants to succeed on than proving that the reasons for the adverse judgment claimed by plaintiff were not really relevant unless, since the defendant had a non-discriminatory reason for making the same decision. That non-discriminatory reason might be called poor academic performance, but under McDonnell Douglas, if that's their justification, plaintiff would have a chance to rebut that justification as pretextual. And under McDonnell Douglas, there's clearly no deference to what defendant says is good or bad academics performance. This academic deference standard arises in cases involving students who fail to achieve their academic goals. We don't want juries sitting as second guessers of the academic quality of a student's work, and so we give some deference to the academic institution. But we don't give that sort of deference when the academic institution is acting as an employer. Cases involving tenure denials to professors who are clearly employees are a more appropriate comparison than cases involving students, even medical students, who fail to obtain a desired degree. And this appellate court notes that analogy. Those professors proceed under Title VII if they are claiming discrimination, and they get the benefit, if you think it's a benefit, of the McDonnell Douglas framework. But at trial, the judge insisted on using the academic deference jury instruction and reasoned that a medical resident is primarily a student rather than an employee. The jury ruled in favor of defendant, and a plaintiff appealed to the Second District, complaining primarily about the jury instruction. So, is she primarily a student or is she primarily an employee? The answer to that question seems to determine whether or not academic deference is appropriate. On this question, the trial court reasoned that the residency program was primarily academic. Given that residency program guidelines require a minimum of 66% of a resident's time to be spent in patient care, the court could not rationally have based its conclusion on the amount of time residents actually spend to claim that this was primarily academic. The appellate court reasons that the trial court appears instead to have relied on the individual resident's goals in participating in this program to reach its conclusion. The trial court said, one cannot progress any further in one's career and obtain employment as a board-certified doctor unless one has complied with all of the requirements, and the requirements set forth in a nationwide standard which requires certain subjects to be taught, graded, and the student must progress. The appellate court thought this analysis was incomplete. An equally important question asks, what were the goals of the residency program itself? Residents spend a lot of time providing services. Generally, they spend approximately 75% to 80% of their time. And these services are central to the mission of the medical institution that is employing them. On an entirely different legal issue having to do with Social Security taxes, the U.S. Supreme Court in the Mayo Foundation case said these doctors who work long hours serve as highly skilled professionals and typically share some or all of the terms of employment of career employees. They are, in fact, workers, even if they are also students of their craft. In other words, the medical residents in that case were ruled to be employees and not students. This court turned then to decisions from other jurisdictions and found more support for the notion that medical residents, as opposed to students or interns, are in fact employees. Academic deference is not appropriate in a sex discrimination claim against an employer, and therefore the jury instruction was wrong. Was it prejudicial? The court went over much of the evidence in the case and found sufficient evidence of sex discrimination to support plaintiff's claim. Given the emphasis placed on academic deference, without a lot of explanation even as to what that deference meant, the instruction was clearly prejudicial. The academic complaints never seemed to be about plaintiff's knowledge, but centered on her patient care, and involved cases in which she was disciplined when male residents doing the same thing clearly were not. Personally, I found the evidence so substantial that I am mystified by the jury's verdict, even given the instruction on academic deference. And so, in the academic deference case, the Court of Appeal reversed the decision below and remanded for a new trial. This would be the third trial in this case, maybe three times a charm. And here is your second verification number. It is 3700. I repeat, 3700.